truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Truth Be Told. I have a very special guest for y'all, one of the best up-and-comers out of Florida, spitting at breakneck speed. Ladies and gentlemen, I got Split Second here with me, man. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm chilling, James. I'm chilling. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. So let's get right into it if you're ready.
Yep, I'm ready. Always ready.
Okay. I like that. All right. When did you know that you wanted to rap, and who are some of your influences?
All right. That's a pretty loaded question. So I guess I'll start from the beginning. Growing up and going to school, I actually didn't listen to rap music. I listened to rock music. So my childhood pretty much consisted of Breaking Benjamin, Linkin Park, Dragon Force, ironically, and, you know, bands like that. I wasn't one of the Panic at the Disco or My Chemical Romance kids, so don't worry about that.
No emo music?
No emo music. Just you know, kind of regular rock, alternative metal. And so I was listening to that for a while, and I had my dad's old computer, his old Macintosh computer, and I just used to use it for, man, I don't even remember what I actually used it for, but I think I just used it to, like, watch anime and stuff like that. And so one time, I go into the iTunes application, and I see my dad's extensive list, collection of hip-hop music, 50 Cent, Wu-Tang Clan, Tupac, Biggie, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, the whole nine.
Classic.
You know, classic stuff. And, you know, it's like, you know, I kind of liked it, because up until then I had a really weird view of rap music. But once I found, like, older school rap music, I was like, oh, hey, so this stuff, you know, it's not too bad. And so from there, it kind of just evolved into, I started being very selective with the rap music I listened to. So I started listening to M.O.P., DMX, Busta Rhymes, Cannabis, you know, dudes like that. You know, I came across, you know, obviously the people who ended up inspiring me to do it, you know, people like Tech N9ne, Eminem, who else, Chino XL, Pharoah Monch, people like that. Slaughterhouse was a very big one. When I started listening to Slaughterhouse, so yeah, that's pretty much how it ended up happening. I still, of course, listen to a lot of rock music and stuff, but and I do make rock music. I do have a rock band, a metal band. It's just, you know, my thing is I am a rapper at heart, and so that's what I do because I do it well.
You are extremely diverse, though. I think that's dope. I definitely got to get to some anime questions now that you gave that up, but when did you realize that, you know, you could make a career out of this, that you were good at it?
So the majority of my upbringing was actually overseas. Yes, I was born in the United States. I was raised in Florida until I was about 8. But when I turned about 8, sometime after 9/11, me and my family moved overseas to Saudi Arabia because we're Muslim. We're the Muslim faith. And so things got pretty rough for us being in the States, you know, very shortly after 9/11. And so, you know, it's not like we're not American. You know, my parents are from Brooklyn. It's, you know, I'm a black guy. Like, that's just American. It's just things got really, really, really rough. And so we ended up moving overseas. And so while I was over there, I think maybe I was 13 or so, me and my friends, we used to watch, like, battle rap and stuff. And, you know, we would, like, do it ourselves, do it for fun. And then it kind of just went from there to making actual music. My friend, one of my friends was like, oh, I have a, what did he have? Some goofy gaming headset with the, you know, with the microphone on it and Audacity, you know, like the program. So, you know, that was the first piece of music that I ever made. And, you know, it kind of just snowballed from there. When I moved back from, you know, Saudi Arabia over here back to the States, you know, that's when I started. Oops, sorry about that. That's when I started pursuing it as a career. And so, you know, I know I'm good at it. I know I make pretty good music. I enjoy my music, for one, and I enjoy performing. But I said, hey, if you do what you enjoy, you don't work a day in your life. Or at least that's what they say. So, yeah, that's what I do. That's pretty much when I figured that out.
How do you feel that you grew as an artist when in the time you spent in Saudi Arabia?
So initially, I used to, I had this little phase of my life when I started rapping, where, you know, I was drawing inspiration from, yeah, of course, DMX, MOP, and, you know, DMX, MOP, and Busta Rhymes mainly. But I was also listening to a little bit of the modern stuff that at the time, you know, early 2000s. So we're talking Lil Wayne, we're talking Young Jeezy, we're talking T.I. And so, you know, maybe halfway through that, I started getting into, you know, rapping like the more technical people that I listened to. So Tech N9ne, Crooked Eye from Slaughterhouse, Eminem, so on and so forth. And for the most part, it was just rap. Like, that was it, you know? I didn't really care about it being nice to listen to. I didn't really care about whether people would sing along to it. I was just like, I'm dope at rapping, and then that's it, you know? I think they call it, like, the backpacker mentality, you know, where it doesn't matter, you know, as long as you're cold on the mic.
And, hell yeah.
And, you know, it kind of took me a long time to get out of that phase. I want to say it wasn't until maybe I had been rapping for 4 or 5 years where I said, yo, you know, I got to make, like, music. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, okay, being cold on the mic is one thing. You know, it's, like, it's better if you're, like, really technical and really talented. But at the end of the day, people are going to bob their heads to what's nice to listen to. And, you know, I started making, you know, songs, you know, creating concepts, making songs, you know. And so then even further, when I got back, you know, I was, you know, still making the music, but I guess I still had yet to find myself. And I think now at the point to where I am at the moment, at least with what I'm working on behind the scenes, because I have a really big project behind the scenes, like, that, like, almost nobody knows about. But in particular, I'm moving further towards what really embodies me as an artist, you know. And I think being in Saudi, being overseas, you know, being exposed to an international state of, you know, mind, it definitely enriches your perspective on things, you know, because you can look at different types of music from different places. And you can see, okay, why does their music sound like this? Why does this music sound like this? You know, all the way down to how what they talk about goes to speak about the social state, you know, of the people there, of the society that they're living in, and the music that they're making at the time. So, I think that's what ended up happening. You know, it's an international mindset, so, you know, it all comes together. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Tech N9ne earlier, and you're pretty fast at rapping yourself. Were you, like, naturally always able to rap fast, or did you have to work at that?
So when I first started, I did not rap fast at all. And I kind of persistently did not rap fast until one day. Actually, I remember the day. I think it was, like, July 14th, 2012. No, 2011. It was the summer of 2011. I was actually going to see Tech, like, at his concert. I was going to a Tech N9ne concert in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I had, you know, the VIP pass. I was getting ready to meet him, and I was like, wow, I'm about to meet, like, you know, my favorite rapper and everything. And then I said, oh, okay, well, am I going to rap for him? And so at the time, I was like, yeah, I'm going to rap for him. And I said, all right, yeah, let me write something fast, like, you know, something with faster flow. And it was good, you know, it was good. Like, I tried it. It was the first time I tried it, and it was really good. Like, even when I listen to it now, it's still really good. And so, but of course, at the end of that, I decided not to rap it for him because I decided to go as a fan and not as an artist. That was just a personal choice. And so from there, I started to get better and better at rapping fast because I did it more often in my music. You know, it would be like here and there, be like, oh, okay, you know, maybe this song for this tiny part, I might go fast. And the rest of the song is kind of regular. And so that pretty much just ramped its way up to, I guess, now at this point, you know, where most people know me for my ability to rap fast, which I guess is cool for the most part. It's really just a facet of my style. There's so much more going on with my music than the fact that I'm rapping fast. Yes, of course, that's important. I do believe that. I do believe that if you can rap fast, you should at least demonstrate your ability somewhat. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's how that happened. So realistically, yes, I did have to work at it. I mean, I was good at first, but I was not as good as I am now. You know what I mean? So
right.
Getting from that early state to where I am now, I can speed it up and, you know, slow it back down really almost effortlessly, and it's, you know, all part of the same thing. So I'm definitely better now at doing it than I was then. So I would say, yeah, yes, I did have to work at it, just like I would want to assume everybody else does.
Now, you said earlier you grew up listening to, like, rock, and obviously you like rap. You're pretty diverse music-wise. What are some dream collaborations?
Like between me and somebody, or like between two artists that I listen to?
Yeah, between you, and it could be rock or rap, regardless.
So, okay. So when I was a kid, you know, I always, not when I was a kid, but when I started rapping kind of in the beginning, I had always dreamed to do a record with Linkin Park. Of course, you know, as we know, you know, Chester Bennington had passed away, rest in peace. You know, that's probably not going to happen like that. I mean, of course, Mike Shinoda, in his own right, is probably one of the most talented and diverse rappers that I've ever heard. You know, his Linkin Park stuff and his solo stuff, you know.
Both huge Linkin Park fan.
Yeah, both in consideration. And so that was definitely one of them, you know, Linkin Park. That would have been really cool. Obviously, like, obvious ones, you know, include Busta Rhymes, Tech N9ne, I guess Twista would be really cool. Eminem, definitely. Slaughterhouse, definitely. I would have liked to do a joint with, XXXTentacion, rest in peace as well. Cause so I didn't exactly like him at first, you know, until you have to be in a certain state of mind to listen to Triple X's music, or at least at the beginning.
Absolutely.
And so once I finally was like, okay, I can get down to this, you know, and I, you know, followed him on social media and stuff, and, you know, I got to see, you know, him living his life, and that was cool because he was trying to get his act together. You know, he was kind of a delinquent at first, and he was getting his act together. He was doing positive things, and, you know, that's why it was so bad, you know, when he lost his life, because he was, I guess, a visage of somebody trying to do things for the better, trying to better themselves for the better of everybody, and how the world reacts to that. You know what I mean? And in his case, of course, he was, you know, he was he was killed. So you know, that was really sad. But yes, definitely Triple X would have been really cool. Of course, now that he's gone, it is a dream. It will remain a dream, and that's okay. Same thing with Linkin Park and Chester Bennington. That kind of sort of concludes my list for who I would like to have a dream collaboration with. I like dope artists, and so the doper the artist, the more inclined I am to collaborating with them. You know, like, I'll collab with somebody that's not as good as me, that's fine. It just won't be as satisfying because I see other artists not as competition in the sense of, oh, who can succeed. It's competition in the growth sense. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
The sense that, oh, this rapper is good like this. Let me see what I can learn from them, you know, by collaborating with them, seeing how we both attack the same piece of music, you know, and then kind of adding what I don't have from their repertoire into my, you know, into my arsenal for me to use on later music. And I think that's probably the key component to why I consider myself like an extremely good artist, because I've been able to, you know, see what other rappers have that I don't. You know what I mean? Most rappers, they have the ego to where they can't do that. They can't look at another rapper objectively and go, okay, this guy's doing this better than me and this better than me, like style-wise, music-wise, not like advertising or success or whatever. But as far as it being an art form, you know, and so that's been really cool. I've been able to collaborate with a lot of different artists, get a lot of different flavors. And, you know, at this point, I never believe that I know too much or I'm too good or I can do this the best. You know, I always believe that improvement is in the books. It's in the cards, you know, for the future. A lot of people always ask me to say, oh, my God, you know, like, how did you get so good, this, this, that, or the other? And I say, listen, if you don't look at your music from last year and say, wow, this is trash, then you're never going to be good. You know what I mean? Because if you can do that, you can understand why you think it's trash. Okay, what didn't I do? What can I do differently? How can I do this better? Let's try this. Let's not try that. You know, you got to look at it like that. But of course, half of it is also retaining all of that. So yes, even, you know, back in the day, I might have learned things and I might not do them anymore, but at the drop of a hat, I could do it. You know what I mean? So it's all about constant improvement. Even if I ever come out and say, yeah, I'm the best, I can do this the dopest, then yeah, okay, I believe in myself. But I also know in the back of my head that 2 weeks from now, I'm not going to think that, you know. So, and that's what makes my style so different from everybody else's. That's what makes it so different. I am, I don't know if you will get this reference, but I am the Monstars from Space Jam.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, everybody touches the ball and then I take it. That's mine now. So,
that's dope. I like that.
Yeah, so that's how I did it.
So speaking of last year, what was your initial reaction to being nominated for the year's most exceptional music awards?
You're talking about the Independent Music Awards. Okay. So I had seen that there was a lot of entries to that, and I was like, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I kind of just applied. Like, we had applied, and we, you know, I kind of just forgot about it. And then they notified me. They said, hey, you've been nominated. And I was like, oh, really? And so, you know, that was really cool because I guess in some weird way that provided some kind of validation that I could make, you know, a coherent and cohesive piece of music. Like, it was an album. I was nominated for an album, not like a single. So is the Project Akuma album, I think it was like 11 tracks. And so what that told me was that those 11 tracks together were, you know, good enough for this thing. And then that was really cool because that meant more to me the fact that it meant more to me that somebody could recognize the overall general vision that I was going for, as opposed to the vision in one song, because that's not hard to get usually. So I was really happy about that. That was really, I look at that as the accomplishment more than anything else. So yeah, I got to fly out. I flew out to New York, and I attended the award show. We did the little cipher, me and the other nominees for the hip hop categories. We did the little cipher. Up to that point, I think that was my most important performance, I would say, because, that was at Lincoln Memorial Hall or something like that. Yeah, in New York. In front of like a bunch of curators and people from all over the world that did all types of different music. And so, I had to really show my stuff. It wasn't necessarily about outshining the other rappers. It wasn't about that. It was about saying like, hey, look, this is what I do right here. This is what I do. That was really cool. The whole experience was really nice. I got to, I got to meet a bunch of different artists from a bunch of different genres, classical music. People who, people were there who played piano. People were there who sang. People were there who, but actually realistically, the rappers was just a tiny group, in that whole establishment. So, everybody else was walking in a different musical path. And it was really cool to kind of be able to appreciate all of those different things at the same time. We all had mutual respect for one another. I got to meet members of, what is that band called? Not Sonata Arctica. What do you call those bands? It's a symphonic metal band. It's very niche band.
Yeah.
but so I got to meet them because they were also there. So that was really cool. That's pretty much how that went. But yeah, that sums up pretty much how I felt about getting nominated. It was just nice to be recognized for the completion of a project and, it being put together properly. That was cool. I like it.
Absolutely. And you deserve it.
I appreciate that.
Don't thank me. You do deserve it. What have you learned from the underground community that's helped you develop or grow as an artist?
So that's a two-part question. So part number one comes from the part musically, and I kind of pretty much explained it. I listened to a bunch of different a bunch of different rappers in the underground on purpose or on accident, I kind of see what their music brings to what it has to offer, what's different about it compared to mine, and I kind of just add that. Another really important part of, it's the same part still musically, there's a lot of people in the underground community that ask me for pointers and stuff on how to rap this way or how to rap that way, usually to rap fast. In answering their questions and listening to their music, giving them feedback and stuff, it does happen a lot. I find that I'm able to look at what other people are doing versus, what I'm doing, and then kind of the whole process of shifting from what they're doing to what I'm doing, because they'll be like, oh, I want to rap faster. What is a pointer? And then I'll tell them something, and then I might give them an example. But just by me giving them the example, I further solidify my own knowledge. You know what I mean? And that's really important. As long as you can teach it, you'll usually be good at it. And so the second part of the question is with regards to, being an artist. And so that has to do with everything other than the music. Your look, your approaches, your advertising stuff, your this, that, and the other, your stage presence, all of that. I get to go out and see a lot of artists perform in person before I perform. And, I might see somebody on stage and go, wow, that's really cool. Or I go, wow, that's really dumb. Or, wow, this is a good idea. Wow, that's not a good idea. And so it's just a huge learning experience in general. I also have learned probably the saddest thing that I've ever learned was that realistically, I don't have to be good. You know what I mean? I don't have to be good at doing music. I could be like really bad at doing music, but if I play the game properly, you know, I'll get somewhere. And that's kind of sad to me because, you know, it is art at the end of the day, and you want to believe that the good stuff gets its recognition, you know, but that's kind of just not the reality all the time. Most of the time, that's not the reality.
So I agree with you, though. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the one negative thing that I've learned. But other than that, you know, yeah, it's just a general, a really good learning experience through in and throughout. So, yeah, I'll put it like that.
Where do you find your artistic inspiration?
So starting out, my biggest issue was I never knew, but I didn't have anything to rap about aside from the fact that I'm good at rapping. If that makes any sense.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, that's cool, but, you know, that only goes so far, you know, even personally. I guess I got sick and tired of saying, oh, I'm nice because this is why I'm nice. And so, you know, my life is, you know, my life is, you know, my life has its ups and downs. And so those, you know, that's a good place to draw inspiration from, you know, the good things, the bad things. Family life, world events, things happening in the world. More recently I started taking towards rapping about kind of whatever I wanted to rap about. So if I wanted to rap about anime, that's what I rapped about. If I wanted to rap about how I felt one day, you know, in literally 1 hour out of the day, that's what I would rap about. So it could be personal. It could be about feelings, about emotions, about something that happened, something that I want to happen, stuff like that. Sometimes I tell stories like of things that actually happened, things that didn't actually happen. You know, it's all kind of told in the same tone. So that's like in general as far as music goes. But I guess a really good way to get me to want to rap is to just show me a rapper that I don't know about that's like really good. I really like discovering like really, really dope artists. And, you know, it's so nice because the fresh feeling of a new artist plus the fact that like I respect that they're like really good at rapping, you know, together, that's probably the easiest surefire source of inspiration that I could possibly get. That's how that works. That's pretty much where I get my inspiration.
What are your thoughts on the current state of rap and hip hop?
I think it's taken an interesting turn because, of course, I could just sit here and go at, you know, mainstream hip hop, and I could speak negatively about it. But I like that the underground artists that are gaining traction and the style of music that they do is so, how do I put it? It's really invigorating. It's really nice to see such a change. I'm talking about mainly like more hardcore rap artists that are in the underground. So in the same vein of XXXTentacion, we're talking about Scarlord, we're talking about City Morgue, we're talking about what's this guy's name? NASCAR Allo. Honestly, he's like really weird, but like I got it. It's interesting. You know, what's his name? Projects. It's like a new genre almost. This metal trap thing going on right now.
Oh hell yeah!
I'm pretty sure you've at least come across it. It's really interesting to me.
I love all types of music too.
Yeah, especially given the fact, you know, my rock and roll background. And so, you know, that's one aspect. We're seeing a few more like real like lyricists gaining like mainstream acclaim. So Logic. even though I don't really like Logic that much. But obviously, I can't sit here and be like, oh, no, he's bad. No, you can't do that. It's just a preference. Joyner Lucas, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, obviously. It's nice to see that there are people who can get to that point while being very lyrically sound. And, you know, it's nice to know. It's like, oh, look, it's possible, you know. As far as the mainstream stuff goes, I mean, it's kind of just more of the same for the most part. It's not like I view them negatively necessarily, but, you know, people like Cardi B, Playboi Carti, Travis Scott, people like that. It's kind of just rinse and repeat, you know, grind, get the money, put the track out so that people still know I exist, you know, listen, go to the concert, you know, rinse and repeat. And that's the point of it. So I guess that's one kind of negative thing that I've realized. People look at rap music as more of a grind than a form of expression. And that really kind of sucks because, you know, that makes everything kind of just for the money. And so you lose a lot of the heart in it. You know, you lose a lot of the authenticity, a lot of the dynamic appeal to it. Kind of just get the same thing over and over and over and over again. That's probably my issue with this rapper right now. She was on the XXL Freshman Cypress. Her name was Megan Thee Stallion.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, and so I had heard of Megan Thee Stallion before the XXL Cypher, but I had heard like one or two songs, and I was just like, okay, I'm over it, because the thing about Megan is that she can really rap. She's, like, really good. It's just she has kind of a very one-dimensional, set of concepts that she'll rap about. You can take pretty much any song of hers, almost any song of hers, and boil it down to those two or three concepts, and it's really kind of boring. And it's
the same content.
Yeah, it's the same content over and over again. And it's really upsetting because Megan is really nice. Like, her flowing is, like, really smooth. It's really good. And I wish she rapped about literally anything else. Like, she could rap about, you know, stealing popcorn. I'd be okay with that. But it's, you know, it is what it is. It's a grind. It's more of a grind than anything else. So that's upsetting. But overall, I do think music in general, well, rap music, is in a pretty good spot because people are experimenting. I think pretty soon people are going to get, like, really bored of the regular, you know, same old, same old. That's nice because people are, you know, okay with stepping outside of the box, trying new stuff. And it's great. I like it.
What is your overall message in your music?
I don't think I have an overall message. I don't think I do. I think at the end of the day, as far as content goes, I show in each song that I am a person with, you know, a multitude of different thoughts. I could be happy. I could be sad. I could be, you know, I could be driven. I could be stagnant. I could be, you know, I could be hopeful. You know, I could be, you know, not hopeful. You know what I mean? I could speak for the people. I could speak against the people. And I think that's, I feel like that might be an issue. I don't want it to be an issue. You know, I want to have the freedom to talk about whatever it is that comes to mind when I write my music. But, you know, sometimes I'm feeling this type of way. Sometimes I'm feeling that type of way. And like it or not, it's going to affect how my music comes out. And so I can't say I have a general message with my music. Now, if we're talking about a subliminal message, a kind of unconscious message, it's to be different. You know what I mean? It's to be different. I don't like making back-to-back songs that sound the same. You know, I don't always follow the normal, syllabic progression. I like to, like, it's a good thing.
But that's what's so great sometimes, you know?
You know, yeah, it's nice sometimes to see that variation. And so, you know, I guess the underlying message of everything is to just, you know, it's okay to be different, you know?
It's okay to be yourself.
It's okay to be yourself, you know? It's okay to have layers, you know what I mean? We can't just boil people down to just one thing, you know? And it's important to embrace, you know, the complex being that is the human mind. And so that's, I guess, what I would put as my underlying message through my music.
Hey, that's perfect. That's perfect. What projects are you currently working on, and where can your fans reach you?
Well, I have Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everything. Just Split Second, SplytSecond, one word. Please don't spell it with a space, please. I die inside a little bit every time I see my name as two words. It's just a thing. you know, so at the moment I'm working on kind of slowly releasing, my newer music. I used to be an album guy, but you know, nowadays it's kind of better to do singles, you know, gain the traction. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Actually, tomorrow night, I'm actually flying out to Phoenix to do a little bit of my, so the thing I'm working on in the background is I have I don't want to call it rap metal because it's not exactly what it is, but that's kind of what it is. I have a rap metal band. And you know, I've been working on our album, you know, very extensively for the past couple of months. And so once that starts rolling out, obviously people on my social medias will be informed.
Yeah, I was gonna say, definitely drop the name if you can. We definitely
it's called Madland. That's what the band is called. And I function as leading vocalist. So that's like really cool. I'm actually very, very very satisfied with the music that we've made so far. It's almost done. But you know, the music we've made so far, I'm very fulfilled with the music and the musical direction. It's really cool, in my personal opinion. It's definitely some music that I'm going to be listening to if nobody else does. So that's what I've been working on. I do have some features coming out with, you know, local artists and international artists, realistically. Most people know me from the Underground Choppers series, and so the 10th entry of Underground Choppers is coming out soon. We're looking at, I think, October. I believe Halloween, actually, is when it's supposed to be coming out. So you might want to look for that. In the meantime, you can look at the other 9 if you got the time.
hey, they better look at it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm working on. More specifically the Madland thing. That's like my main thing at the moment. As a solo artist, I'm obviously going to continue being a solo artist as well. It'll just definitely take a backseat to my band music because that's the stuff that I enjoy doing the most at the moment. I never really enjoyed being a solo artist necessarily. You know, I started rapping with other people, and so I enjoy doing music with other people the most. As a form of preference, I can obviously function by myself as has been proven thus far. But if I had to make a choice, I'd be in group. That's how that goes. That's pretty much how it works. I think I am most active on Instagram, so that's where you'll find my more frequent updates. But obviously, yeah, get at my YouTube and my Twitter and my Facebook and all of that, run up those metrics.
So y'all got no excuse. To make sure you're subscribed to that YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Split, man, thank you for coming on the show. You know, it's been a little while trying to get you on. I was glad you were able to make it. You know, if there's anything, any kind of preview or something you want to give to the people listening, man, now would be a perfect time.
Okay, well, I did get the stems for a feature that I'm doing with a local artist, and so I can definitely spit my verse for the people.
Dope.
That would be cool. All right, here we go. All right, yo. Load a rifle, cock it back, prepare the gun. No escaping destiny, and there will be nowhere to run. Floating like a cherubim, and I won't even spare a nun. I look into their eyes as I relish seeing despairing them. Is it apparent I'm ripping and tearing? I'm digging the back right after they bury him. Steadily swimming with sharks, every sinking inside this aquarium. Let up on the track and have a military gun. Show me the capacity, don't make it any fun. Talking with double, it's ready to reach and every runner for a duck and every bit of time. I gotta carry on.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the song say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.